Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We turn back the clock to April 11th, 2014, Minnesota against Houston. Corey Brewer erupts for 51 points at Target Center. And one guy who not only saw the game, he called the game. Alan Horton, Timberwolves play-by-play broadcaster, joins us now on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. And Alan, I'm sure when you look back at the 1,000-plus games you've called, this one has to, you know, stand out to some level, because it's not often when a guy goes off for 51, especially somebody whose forte is defense, like Corey Brewer.
Right. No, it brings a smile to my face just thinking about Corey Brewer, just because, I mean, Eric, you remember the way he, you know, he's only been out of the league for a year plus, but, you know, the way he used to play, just with a smile on his face and giving 110% every time he was on the floor. He made the most of his ability, lasted so long in the NBA, and, you know, he didn't have the most talent of anybody out there, but boy, that guy played hard, and it was easy to see why he was a fan favorite. He came to the Timberwolves in 2007, same year I did, I've liked the guy ever since.
Yeah, had a great career at Florida under Billy Donovan, and a long career in the NBA. At what point in the broadcast, Alan, did you sense that Corey was in that zone that we hear athletes talk about?
Well, I think, you know, going back to that game, that was the 13-14 season. The Wolves were out of the playoff picture, but fighting for a .500 record. They ended up losing their last three and finishing 40-42. But that was a game they did not have their top three scorers. So Kevin Love was out, Kevin Martin was out, and Nikola Pekovic was out. And so here's Corey Brewer, the fourth leading scorer on the team, averaging just over 12 points a game. And in his career, do you know what? So this was his career game, 51 points. Do you have a guess of what his second most number of points he scored in a game in his career?
I'll say 23.
29. So he'd never scored over 30 points. And for him to explode for 51 is just unbelievable. And the way, back to your original question, I guess I realized it. You know, I think we realized someone was going to have to step up and score if the Wolves were going to have a good night. And when you saw Corey Brewer, I think he had 25 or 26. He had a very balanced game where he had, I think, 26 in the first half, 25 in the second half. But I think his first half output kind of lets you know that, you know, he almost had a career high at halftime, that he was going to have a big game. And the other key number is that 27 of his points came on the fast break. He was just relentless attacking the basket. Mm-hmm. Whether it was in the half court sometimes, but mostly in transition. And remember, he and Kevin Love used to have this great outlet combination where Kevin Love would snare the rebound, snap the outlet, Corey would leak out, and they'd get easy buckets that way. But remember, Kevin Love wasn't even playing in this game. And Ricky Rubio finished with just 10 assists, which wasn't a terrifically high number. So it was, I look back at that starting lineup too, and it was Ricky Rubio at the point, Corey Brewer at the two, Robbie Hummel and Dante Cunningham were your forwards, and Gorgui Dieng was your center. So not exactly a murderer's row. And you wondered where the points were going to come from, and they came from Corey Brewer that night.
Well, and I guess, too, when you're playing Houston, and they put up these cartoon-like numbers routinely, you know you're going to have to play at a fast-break pace, and you're going to have to score, right? So maybe it was the perfect night for Corey to, you know, say, hey, I'll do it myself because nobody else can.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Rick Adelman, I look back at the Rick Adelman years. There were 3 years, and this was his final season. And his teams got better and better each of those 3 years. And, you know, there were some small things that Rick Adelman did that I don't think we appreciated at the time. But when you kind of look back at the track record of this organization over the last 10 to 15 years, you know, Rick Adelman, you know, did a pretty good job with the roster that he had. And he knew what kind of buttons to push at the right time. And in a game like this, I think is a good example of just, hey, let's push the pace. Let's get Cordy out on the run. Let's have him attacking relentlessly. And I actually watched some highlights of this game the other day, and Cordy would just get it and attack. And once Houston showed, you know, it was late in the year, and I don't know, you know, Harden was still playing, and this was a two-point game. So not only was it a big Wolves win, big night for Cordy Brewer, but it was a 112-110 game. And Houston is battling for playoff seeding at this point. You know, once they showed that they weren't really interested in stopping Cordy going to the rim, he just said, okay, I'll take advantage of that all night long.
Alan Orton, our guest here on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline. You will hear his call of the Timberwolves-Rockets game back on April 11, 2014, coming up in a few minutes as we turn back the clock for another T-Wolves Classic broadcast. Alan, we've heard so many scenarios floated out about, you know, the NBA possibly resuming. You've got this bubble city scenario down in Orlando, Florida. Are you optimistic this is going to happen?
Yeah. Yeah, I am very optimistic that it's going to happen. I think they've, I think the league was smart in waiting to announce things. You know, with everything changing day by day, week by week, there was no sense in trying to put something out, you know, a month and a half, 2 months ago, only to have to go back and change things. They've waited as long as they possibly could. You know, they've taken the temperature of the scenario out there of what's going on with COVID, how you can best prepare the players to keep them healthy and safe. And I think they've come through with over 100-page, you know, guideline that they're going to follow as to how to go about doing that, about playing these 8 regular season games, playing a little play-in tournament if need be, and then playing the playoff games, doing it in Orlando, in the number of hotels that they have, how they've really thought through a lot of the logistics that must have taken forever to put together, whether it's about shoot-arounds, how to handle those, how's the transportation going to work, how are meals going to happen, what are we going to do about families, who's in the bubble, who's out the bubble. A lot of these things have been thought through. Now, is there a 100% certainty that it's all going to work and it's all going to function perfectly? Absolutely not. But I think they've done their due diligence and they've given themselves and the players the best opportunity to try to pull this thing off.
Alan, from the Timberwolves' perspective, they won't be one of the 22 teams down in Orlando at the Bubble City. 8 of them won't make it. Minnesota is in that group. So the focus has to be, obviously, on the upcoming draft, whenever that is. What does next season look like? Does this change the start time for the 2020/21 season?
Yes, it does. And I think the reason basketball fans should be hoping that this Orlando thing goes through without a hitch and they're able to crown a champion and be able to pull this off is that it gives you more hope that even if things change in terms of COVID, in terms of the flu season coming up in the fall or the winter, if you're able to pull off Orlando, it does give me a lot of hope that you can pull off a full season and maybe you start it in teams' arenas, or maybe you have to go to another bubble system or multiple bubbles. But I think if you're a fan of NBA basketball or really any of these sports that are going to come back up, you're rooting for them to succeed so that everyone can kind of learn and try to pull off their season so we can have sports in our lives. So I think if things go off without a hitch, you're not looking until the season starting until December, you know, early December at the earliest and likely more towards Christmas, because you have to account for the teams that are going to be playing in Orlando. If they get all the way to the finals, they're going to be playing into what, September? I forget what the date is. Maybe it's even October. Either way, they're going to be playing awfully late into the fall, and then they're going to have a quick turnaround to the next start of the season, and they're hoping to get 82 games in. So that makes things complicated.
Look, Alan, I know nobody really knows the answer to this question, but with a relaunch like this that the NBA, NHL, other leagues are attempting to do, Does it help or hurt somebody like Milwaukee or the L.A. Lakers or the L.A. Clippers? I mean, those teams, Toronto, all were rolling until COVID came up and they hit the brakes on the season. What does it do? Because it's basically a relaunch.
It is, and it's about who handles the adversity the best. I mean, nobody's kind of gone through this before in any sport. And so to shut down for 3+ months and then try to ramp back up, it's unfair to the good teams, to the medium teams, to the bad teams. It's about who now deals with this the best, who can come together the quickest, who can stay healthy. It's really about trying to figure it out as quickly as you can. And the teams that do that are going to have some success down there. And you mentioned the Timberwolves. Yeah, they basically begin planning, at least their front office begins planning for the offseason. That means draft. That means free agency. That's where you stand cap-wise and how much money or exceptions you may have coming forward. But then the other part of things is how do you bridge this gap from the time the Timberwolves last played, which was March 10th, and if they don't play again to December 10th, what is that? That's 9 months. How do you keep guys developing? Because that's key. You've got some young guys in your roster. How do you get them to continue on their path to development and get better? Because you're going to need improvement from the guys you do keep. So I think the eight teams are talking about trying to find ways. Maybe they get together and play some games during some period of time during late summer, early fall. Maybe they're allowed to have some extended training camp or mini camps during August or September, something to try to prevent a 9-month layoff for these guys, where if they are working out, they're working out just kind of individually. And you can only do so much individually, as we know, Eric. You need to be playing games. That's how you get better. And so I think that's a concern for all the eight teams, not just the Timberwolves.
And final thought, Alan, and so much has happened since you and I have last chatted here on CCO with COVID-19 and the George Floyd tragedy and all of that. It's so enormous. I don't think I've really been able to get your thoughts on Kobe Bryant. I mean, that actually happened earlier this year, but it's been eclipsed by other things. But you called a lot of games involving Kobe Bryant. It's still hard to believe he's gone.
Yeah. And we were in L.A. right after, about a week after he had passed away in that helicopter crash. And I can remember, walking through the ESPN zone there and seeing the memorial for him and the boards that were up and the notes that people had left and the rows and rows of flowers and gifts that people had left in memory of Kobe. And, it's funny, Eric, a lot of people still think that, that we're courtside for every single game, and that's just not the case much anymore. But one place we have always been courtside has been Laker games, which is ironic since they're one of the premier teams, and you'd think they could sell the for a lot of money, but let's not get that word out. Don't give them any ideas.
You've got Jack Nicholson viewpoint, Alan.
Well, Jack's always by the visiting bench, but actually our TV crew is by our bench, and I'm actually closer to the Laker bench, right at the end of the table. And so any Laker that checks in comes and sits right on, basically in front of us. Some of them are kind and they squat down on the floor. But Kobe is one of those guys that whenever he came to check in, he was a guy you'd be calling the play-by-play, but all of a sudden Kobe walks in front of you. You know what? I'm keeping my eyes on Kobe. He's one of those guys who's just he's magnetic in his personality, and he's one of those larger-than-life figures. LeBron James kind of fits the same bill, and that the Lakers actually moved us up last year. That was so we didn't even get a chance to see LeBron up close like that. But when Kobe was playing and he would check in, you'd just be like, wow, there is Kobe Bryant. He fit so perfectly into that Staples Center crowd, who is so at home on the court, which is so just incredible that you can feel so comfortable in front of 20,000 people and 40,000 eyes just staring at you, watching every moment. But it does feel like absolute years ago that he passed away. It's just been an incredible 4 or 5 months, and really all of 2020 is just – we've never seen anything like it.
A terribly tragic situation in late January, no doubt about it. Alan, always good to spend time with you. We'll enjoy the broadcast tonight as Corey Brewer explodes for 51.
Eric, appreciate it.
All right, thank you. He's Alan Horton, Timberwolves play-by-play broadcaster on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.